From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. Today, the White House is saying no way to a possible amnesty deal for NSA leaker Edward Snowden. The idea was brought up in a controversial 60-minute segment last night in which NSA analyst Rick Ledgett said he thought amnesty would be worth a conversation if it meant securing some of the remaining data that Snowden has.
He also told reporter John Miller how much data was taken and what it meant to other countries like China or Iran.
If those documents fell into their hands, what good would it do them?
It would give them a roadmap of what we know, what we don't know, and give them implicitly a way to protect their information from the U.S. intelligence community's view.
For an adversary in the intelligence game, that's a gold mine.
It is the keys to the kingdom.
What wasn't in the interview was that the agency, headed by General Keith Alexander, is bracing for the release as early as today of a new report that's said to recommend a sweeping overhaul. Matthew Aid is a former NSA analyst. He's author of a history of the NSA called The Secret Sentry. Matthew, first of all, your overall thoughts on what you heard last night. Analysts making the case that they did not listen to phone calls, they only did gathering of numbers and calls, and that Snowden has the keys to the kingdom.
I heard very little I didn't already know. I mean, the one setup, which was leaked 2 days before the interview aired, was the disclosure that, you know, senior NSA officials were thinking or willing to give consideration to the thought of giving Edward Snowden amnesty if he returned all the documents that he took. Now, the one thing I can say about that is that that ship has sailed. So many of the documents are now in the hands of at least a half dozen media organizations or individuals such as Glenn Greenwald down in Rio de Janeiro and Laura Poitras, a documentary filmmaker in Berlin. So I don't think NSA could even get that, even if it wanted to. But overall, I was very disappointed with the interview. I didn't get a lot of information I didn't already know, and I was disappointed with the tenor and tone of the questions that were asked.
Well, as we just said, the White House seems to be agreeing with you on this idea of amnesty, and many people agree with you on the content of the interview. We're going to be speaking with NPR's media correspondent David Folkenflik in just a minute about the journalism last night. But what about the intelligence that you heard? In the piece, analysts made the case that they don't listen to phone calls. They only do metadata gathering of numbers and calls. And then, as we heard, Snowden has taken the keys to the kingdom. What questions would you have asked?
Let's take a step back for a moment. As you said in your setup, we're expecting, perhaps as early as today, a report from a five-person task force set up by President Obama in August to examine the National Security Agency's operations. And according to the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, which came out with stories on Thursday night, this report is going to propose what is being described as a sweeping overhaul of the agency and the way it does business, how it's led and how it's structured. None of that came out last night. At the very least, they should have mentioned the fact that this report is going to come out perhaps as early as today, the day after their piece aired. You know, the key thing that's coming out in this report is, according to the reports that have come out already, is the White House is going to be told that NSA's signals intelligence collection operations need to be limited in some way, shape, or form, and we have to wait until the report comes out to find out the specifics, and that additional oversight is needed of the agency, probably at the executive branch level, meaning the West Wing of the White House, and that there's even some suggestion that the report will recommend that a military man will no longer command the National Security Agency, that all future directors are going to be civilians, although the White House quickly poured cold water on that suggestion.
Well, you mentioned the leaked reporting of the report. Siobhan Gorman of the Wall Street Journal was one who was told what might be in the report by people familiar with it. She writes that the draft recommendations included proposing that the records of nearly every U.S. phone call now collected by the NSA be held by a phone company or a third-party organization, but also that the report is going to recommend splitting the NSA and the Cyber Command jobs. Right now, the head of both the NSA and the Pentagon Cyber Command are one person, General Keith Alexander. But she writes that the Obama administration is going to reject that recommendation from the report. They want a merged position.
Yeah. Just to, again, take a step back, General Keith Alexander is not only the director of the National Security Agency, and he is a four-star Army general, but he also is the commander-in-chief of U.S. Cyber Command, which is the Pentagon's organization, which if President Obama was to give the okay, conduct cyber attacks on foreign targets. And, you know, there's been some discussion over the past couple months about whether it is probably prudent to separate the two organizations, to, you know, put different people in charge. I think the thinking is in the White House that given the sort of the relationship between the two organizations, where there's a synergistic back and forth between the two, one can't do its job without the other. Therefore, it makes sense to keep both organizations under the same commander. But that's we'll have to wait for the fine print in the report before we know how it goes forward. I should also add that this task force has its recommendations are not binding. Therefore, it could recommend that the New York Yankees win the pennant next season, and President Obama is, of course, free to ignore that recommendation if he thinks it's silly or imprudent. So we just don't know what the future holds for the agency.
Well, in fact, you've told us that you feel the report is going to make or break the NSA.
Well, I think it's, they're in NSA's 65-year history, or 66-year history now, the agency was created in the fall of 1952. You know, there have been a few of these outside panels that, have actually directly influenced its history. And this report, again, depending on whether President Obama chooses to accept in part or in whole the recommendations contained in the report, could have a very significant impact on how the agency does business on a going forward basis.
That's Matthew Ade, former NSA analyst, author of a history of the agency called The Secret Sentry. Matthew, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Well, let's get back to the 60 Minutes report itself, which is drawing a lot of criticism for not being balanced, not being hard-hitting enough. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik is with us from New York. Hi, David.
Hey, Jeremy.
Well, a lot of reactions to this. What was yours as someone who covers the media?
I thought that it was, it's a good moment to hear from the NSA itself in its own words, and it's nice to be taken inside. But I've got to say that the questioning seemed awfully gentle from John Miller. He's obviously somebody who's well experienced. In fact, he used to work in some ways in terrorism and national security, and
may again.
And may again, and we'll get to that. But nonetheless, it's an opportunity for an informed questioner to ask some tough questions. And it seemed rather gently and daintily handled at one point, talking about, well, gosh, why do you think the public is confused between the fact that actually it's metadata being gathered rather than the actual content of emails or phone calls and the like, the metadata being the information about the exchanges and interactions online. And it just seemed to me an opportunity to press that wasn't pursued very vigorously.
Well, and CBS even posted a behind-the-scenes video where John Miller was talking to a producer, and he said he wanted to ask the hard questions, the hardest questions he could find. Here's a clip of what he said.
So you understand, then, there might be a little confusion among Americans who read in the newspaper that the NSA has vacuumed up the records of the telephone calls of every man, woman, and child in the United States for a period of years. Sounds like spying on Americans.
Right, and that's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. There's no.
You don't hear the calls.
You don't hear the call.
You don't see the name.
You don't see the names.
David, I have to say, I saw the whole thing, and this is not the only piece of reporting that people are getting on the NSA. This is part of all of the news that we get in the 24-hour news cycle. I want to give 60 Minutes the benefit of the doubt for a second. Why not run something like this that is certainly advances the story in that it gives the NSA the opportunity to tell much more than it has so far and definitely is fascinating?
I think it's really more a question of framing and tone. I think if CBS's intention, 60 Minutes' intent was to say, look, we're getting inside a world that has been confronted. It's had these revelations that it hasn't seen in the like of which in decades, and it's having to address this. You're seeing dissent at top levels between General Alexander, who says that Snowden should be tried as a traitor on the one hand, and this guy Rick Leggett, who's a sort of a senior official being designated to mop up and figure out how to deal with this Snowden revelations, and said, we really need to bring him inside, maybe give him amnesty so that we can find out how badly exposed we are and how to deal with it. That's a pretty good scoop. And there were some other elements as well that were useful. Miller touched on things like the question of FISA courts and rulings going against them and concerns of citizens. Again, things were touched on, but they weren't probed, and things were accepted at face value from officials from an agency that it would seem has been, accused by the FISA courts and even by some members the Senate Intelligence Committee of giving either incorrect or intentionally misleading answers.
Well, and as you mentioned, John Miller has floated in and out of the intelligence community himself. His piece actually opened with the disclosure that he formerly worked in the office of the Director of National Intelligence. There's reporting today that he is about to take a job with the New York Police Department. David, just in the 30 seconds or so we have left here, this comes on the heels of this Benghazi story that caused so much trouble for 60 Minutes and this report on Amazon's drones that people thought was a bit of a puff piece for Amazon. What do you think? What's going on here with 60 Minutes?
Well, I think a couple things going on. I do have real respect for the correspondents and producers at 60 Minutes and also the executives there. But there have been a number of missteps, and it happens in a slightly different age. It happens in an age where CBS and other major news outlets can't completely control the news agenda. And it's also happening at a time when the attention online is so tough. Tough to make missteps at when scrutiny is so strong.
NPR's David Folkenflik, thanks so much.
You bet.
This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.